Good morning. Our scripture reading for today is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 18th chapter. And Jesus says, "Therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, 'Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved, and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?' And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father will also do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen." The seminary professor who taught us what we called practical or pastoral theology, Dr. Wilhelm Peterson, used to say this frequently: when you go on some house calls, you may want to spend a little extra time praying in the driveway. And that certainly was the case for me once, many, many years ago when I was a young pastor. A member of my church had come to tell me about problems he was having in his family because his wife was unable to forgive one of her sisters from 20 plus years earlier. And this difficulty of her lack of forgiveness had now rippled out into their own family and extended family, so that no one wanted to go to family reunions or anything. So I drove to the house one afternoon to meet this member, and I sat down with her and I took out this very story that I just read. And I asked her if I could read one of Jesus' parables before we had our talk. And so I read this parable to her. And at the end of it, I said, "So what do you think your Savior is trying to tell you here?" And she said, "That I'm going to hell. And I know I am, because I can't forgive." The lack of forgiveness is like a spiritual tumor that wraps around a person's spiritual heart. And our Lord is warning us about that today. In this parable, which is very easy to understand, even little children can get this, we have some imagery that he puts before us of this servant coming before the king. And Christ wants us to all keep a proper perspective on the enormity, the huge amount of debt that we owe to God because of our sinfulness. And also to highlight in this parable our tendency in ourselves to underestimate just how bad our sin is before God. Now, it's especially challenging to forgive somebody who has wronged you when it's really been an offensive thing, something that really crossed the line, where you have every right to be upset and to be angry. Those are the toughest times when it comes to trying to forgive somebody. I think of people that have had to suffer physical abuse or sexual abuse or possibly someone stealing money from them or just being treated horribly for a good portion of their life. In the parable in front of us, this servant who now goes to the man who owes him a smaller amount, there's a real debt here. There's an actual debt that is owed to this man. And he now has a sense of superiority over this man who owes this smaller debt to him. And when we struggle to forgive someone, it may be a legitimate debt that the person has to us. They've actually sinned against us. There is, in a sense, something that they owe us. But what happens in us is a twisted sense of morality, of superior morality. And it's actually rooted in our pride when we have a hard time forgiving other people. And it also comes down to our inability to gauge just exactly how enormous our guilt is before the throne of the Almighty God. So Jesus teaches us in the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." Fifth petition. A Norwegian pastor said this, "When someone is unforgiving, he prays the fifth petition. He calls down God's judgment on himself. He does not want to forgive and prays that God would do the same to him." So a couple of important things to keep in mind that we learn from this text and when dealing with other people in our day-to-day lives. First of all, just how much larger our debt has really been toward God. And secondly, how completely gracious God has been toward each one of us for the sake of his Son. And where God's forgiveness is received in a person's heart by faith in Christ, that same heart, that same soul will be automatically activated to want to show that same mercy and forgiveness toward others in their life. A church father wrote this from the early days of the church, "Forgiveness is the very air that circulates in God's kingdom." That's a great way to put it. Forgiveness is the very air that circulates in God's kingdom. "Whoever cannot breathe this air," he writes, "cannot remain living there." Now, maybe think of something or someone in your life where it has been or even now is really hard to forgive that person. And maybe they've really sinned against you. And you have a legitimate, understandable gripe against them, an understandable debt that they owe you. But let's think about you toward God and me toward God. It's also understandable that God, if he had so chosen, could have just held our sins against us too, could have just kept them in the balance and made us work them off. Think what that would have meant for us. Think what that would have done for our future. But he's been so kind and so compassionate and so gracious because of his Son's death to come to you and me and declare us forgiven. And now in order to show that we're recipients of that wonderful grace, he says, "I'd like to see this in your lives as well." Think about how fully and completely and regularly God dispenses this forgiveness into your life, all the different ways, touches all of our senses. If you wanted every hour of the day, you could find some way, even a picture of Christ, that reminds you and refreshes you in the forgiveness you have from God. Now, one last point. Granting forgiveness brings joy and happiness to the one who does the forgiving. Do you think it bothers God to have to forgive you? Do you think it upsets God to forgive you? Think of the parable of the prodigal son, and how the father now forgives his son, and he was waiting for him to come back. He throws a party. He celebrates. There's joy even for the one who does the forgiving. So don't miss this. If you right now as a Christian are having a hard time letting go of someone's sins against you, you're hurting yourself. You're causing difficulty for yourself. There's a peace that comes to the forgiver as well. And if you're just going to keep a record of wrong against someone, that's going to ultimately cause damage to you. It's a heavy burden on you, not just on that person. So Jesus says to let go of this from the heart. It's a liberating thing. I preached a sermon like this many years ago in a congregation, and that afternoon after church, a lady called me late Sunday afternoon, and she said, "Thanks for your sermon today about forgiveness. I've been holding a grudge against one of my friends from college for 15 years, and I just called her today because of that sermon, and I can't tell you how wonderful it feels, and we're going to get back together and work our friendship out again." May God grant us in faith every day to breathe in the air of his mercy and forgiveness because of Christ, And may that same wonderful air of forgiveness fill our lungs and our spiritual lives as well. Amen. Please rise. And we pray. Almighty eternal God, we confess that we are poor sinners and cannot answer one time out of a thousand when you contend with us. But with all our hearts, we thank you that you have taken all our guilt from us and laid it upon your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and made him atone for it. We pray, graciously sustain us in faith and so govern us by your Holy Spirit that we may live according to your will in neighborly love, service, and helpfulness, and not give way to wrath or revenge, that we may not incur your wrath, but always find in you a gracious Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.